Amen. Let's open our Bibles, Isaiah chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. We'll share a message. God is my salvation. Remember, we asked you to pray this morning, and I'm sure to be praying about giving a special offering towards the lighting in the gym. We'd like to get that upgraded and put LEDs in there. It'll save us a lot of money, and the lights will be a lot brighter. And so you can give a special offering towards that in the next week or two. We'd appreciate that. God is my salvation. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to once again gather together and be able to have the Bible before us, and we might be able to learn some principles about our God who is our salvation. Lord, I pray that it might encourage us and strengthen us tonight. It might challenge us, Lord, and certainly, God, it's our desire that the name of Jesus Christ will be exalted and lifted up in all that is shared tonight from the Word. And so I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who's not saved, that they would be touched, Lord, and the Spirit of God impress upon their need to come to Christ through faith and faith alone. And Lord, your grace will be sufficient to save them. I pray for every believer. Certainly, Lord, as we're preparing our hearts to do ministry this week with VBS, Lord, will we not lose sight that God is our salvation. And Lord, may we be able to present that in a powerful, clear way to each student that'll come into the building this week. Help us, bless us, Lord. Speak to us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 4. It says, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. God is my salvation. Why in the world will we speak praises to God and exalt his name if he was not our salvation? This is a great statement concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he would be when he would be born. Prophet Isaiah is prophesying in reference to the birth of Jesus Christ. And certainly in Matthew 1:21, when Jesus was born, it said, and ye shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so Isaiah is prophesying in reference to Jehovah God being a God of our salvation, and certainly that all it culminates in the fullness of the birth of Jesus Christ coming into this world to save sinners, that we might be able to know that we're going to heaven. And so God gave Isaiah great vision and insight regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For an instance, when you look in Isaiah chapter 6, some introductory thoughts here. He saw the majesty of the throne of God. And certainly chapter 6 in verse 1 through 3, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the angels flying around the throne of God, singing, holy, holy, holy. And certainly what Isaiah was able to see in the majesty of the throne of God was beyond what other people could comprehend or had witnessed themselves. And so when you come to chapter 12, where we're reading, no wonder Isaiah is saying that we ought to exalt the Lord and praise his name and rejoice in the fact that God is the God of our salvation. So chapter 6, Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, a majestic view of the throne of God. He also saw the wonder of the birth of Christ, because in Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so he saw not just the majesty of the throne in heaven, but he saw the wonder of the birth of Christ. And I think sometimes we'd kind of just kind of go over that thing. Every year we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And I don't think sometimes that we stand in awe and wonder about the miracle of what took place. God becoming man, God being born of a virgin and dwelling on this earth. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah saw that hundreds of years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ. So he saw the majesty of his throne. He saw the wonder of his birth. And in chapter 9 and verse 6 of Isaiah, he saw the power of his work. Chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And so he speaks in reference to a vision of the power of the work of Christ. He just speaks about, oh man, a spider coming down there, amen. I was under attack. I see this spider coming down. Oh my goodness. Anyway, for unto us a child is born. That speaks of the birth of Jesus Christ. Unto us a son is given. That references the crucifixion of Christ. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's a statement in reference to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, we see a comprehensive verse that deals with the three aspects of Jesus' coming: his birth, his crucifixion, and his millennial reign. And here is Isaiah standing in wonder and awe because he sees the majestic power of how Christ would work into this world. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah also saw the manifestation of his person. In Isaiah chapter 11, in verse 2, he sees the power, the manifestation of the person of Christ. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of fear." The personality of Christ, the Messiah that would come, would possess the seven spirits of God. And certainly he would be the manifestation of the revelation of all that God is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah saw this before Jesus was born. And then, of course, where we read in our text verse, he saw the completeness of his salvation. That's why he cries out, he says, "Jehovah is my strength and my song." Why? Because God is my salvation. And so when you think about the visions that Isaiah received, it really stirs our heart with the spirit of wanting to rejoice and share our faith with others, because there is a God who cares about mankind. There is a way for man to be redeemed from all of his sin, and that is by trusting in this Messiah that was prophesied that we would come. So God is my salvation. The redemption of man is a great work, because the redemption of man is God buying man out of the slave market of sin. Jesus Christ literally laid down his life that he might redeem us from all of our sins. And I'm thankful tonight that when we get saved, we trust Christ as our Savior, all of our sins are forgiven, we're cleansed from all of our sins, and we are set free from the bondage of sin, that we might be able to live in the liberty of who Jesus Christ is. That's why Paul says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage." I'm thankful that once the Lord sets us free, ye shall be free indeed, and we can live a victorious life because of the fact of who Jesus Christ is. He is the God of my salvation. So let's look at these three things in verse 4. "In that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, and make mention that his name is exalted." So first of all, I see that we should praise the Lord because God is the God of our salvation. Then we ought to praise him for who he is. I think sometimes we get too reserved in our concept of church and worship of God, because God does inhabit the praise of his people. And so we need to praise the Lord with our whole heart. In Psalm 111, and now we're going to look at several verses here, so wet your fingers, amen. Psalm 111 in verse 1 tells us, "Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Now, it's amazing to me how the Bible presents to us this concept of worship and praise to God is within the congregation. It's within the assembly of the right upright. And the mention here is the energy and the commitment level that is upon the heart of the believer as he acknowledges praise and adoration of his God. He does it with his whole heart. In other words, we're to pour everything into it. I mean, I just know this, that God, since he inhabits the praise of his people, then he desires for us to be wholehearted in our worship and our exaltation of him. We don't need to come in and be reserved about this thing, amen? We don't need to be dead in church. We can be excited in church, and we can rejoice in the blessings of our God. And oftentimes, we kind of settle back, and we kind of surrender ourselves to be reserved. And wait a minute, it's all right to say praise the Lord once in a while. And it's a biblical term. It's all right to say hallelujah. It's all right to lift up holy hands in worship of God. It's all right to say amen. It's okay to do those things. But wait a minute, people say, well, wait a minute, don't get too excited about it. Don't get too out of control. And I've had people over the years constantly tell me, Pastor, you need to calm down a little bit. You need to ease up a little bit. And someone said something to my wife this morning and said, boy, he's really passionate about what he preaches. And I said, amen. You haven't seen nothing yet. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to have a heart attack up here and go to heaven. I'll get all excited. Amen. Praise ye the Lord, it says. It's not a suggestion. It's not a question. It's a command. Praise ye the Lord. So God wants us to praise him and exalt him with our whole heart. Listen, we put our whole heart and our whole bodies and everything else into other things that we do. Why can't we be wholehearted in our worship and our praise to the Lord? God is my salvation, so I will praise him with my whole heart. Notice in Psalm 117 in verse 2 that we are to praise the Lord because of his mercies, because of his mercies. And Psalm 117 in verse 2 tells us, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So we have something to rejoice in. You know, the world tries to find pleasure, tries to find something to be excited about. And it's always something that's temporary, something that's physical, something that is corrupt, and it doesn't last. But wait a minute, Christian, we have the mercies of the Lord. The mercies of the Lord are renewed every day. We have something to rejoice in praising God because of the fact that his mercies are unending. And he has demonstrated them to us over and over again. When you wake up tomorrow morning, there will be mercies there to be with you to help you through the day. Whatever trial or difficulty you're facing tonight, I'm going to tell you one thing that right now. God's mercy, his loving kindness is sufficient to encourage you and to be able to praise his holy name. Everything that God does is always good. There's nothing, anything that God does that is not good. You say, well, wait a minute, it didn't come out the way I wanted. God wasn't very kind to me. Wait a minute, if God can do evil, then he's no longer God. Everything God does and allows to take place in our life is for our good, that it might generate a spirit of praise to him because of his mercies. So he said, you ought to praise God because he is the God of your salvation. Notice in Psalm 146 in verse 10. Psalm 146 in verse 10. If you're down, you're discouraged, go to the Psalms. They have much to say about praising God. I just know this, if you get onto some praising ground, you won't be depressed and discouraged about life. So notice also, we ought to praise the Lord because he reigns forever. In Psalm 146, in verse 10, he reigns forever. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. I want you to know tonight that God is still on the throne. He is still in control. He is not shocked by 2017. I can tell you that.
And he is not shocked about all the immoral things that are going on in our world. He is not overwhelmed with the injustices that are going on in this world. Why? Because he is the God who reigned over generations past. He is the God who's going to reign over the generations in the present. And hallelujah, he's the God who's reigning right now on the throne in heaven. So you ought to praise the Lord because he reigns forever. I see that we praise the Lord in Psalm 149 with a new song. With a new song, Psalm 149:1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Praise ye the Lord, it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. You know, before I got saved, I used to sing songs that were worldly, songs that were ungodly, songs that were lustful, all kinds of songs I used to sing. Certainly didn't speak of God's praise, and songs did not acknowledge who God was or what my life is being hid in Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, he gave me a new song, even praise unto my God. And I want you to know that tonight, when we sing out to the Lord, we ought to sing with a spirit that God has given us a fresh new life, and we sing in reference to who he is. Don't sing these stupid songs that talk about all kinds of immoral stuff. Don't sing these songs that defame the name of God. Don't sing these songs that speak of corrupt, immoral lifestyle. Sing about the holiness of God. Sing about the person of our Savior. Sing that he saved me. Save, save, save. We need to rejoice that God has given us a new song. We don't need that old junk. Amen. That stuff doesn't do anything to encourage you. People sit in bars and they sing these, listen to these songs, and people sing these songs in their cars, and all they do is get depressed, and all they do is get discouraged. They get downtrodden, beaten down, and everything. And the Christian thinks we got to listen to ungodly music to be able to feel better about ourselves. The reason why you don't feel so good is you're listening to the wrong music. You start listening to something that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ and gives you a spirit of praise unto the Lord. I'll tell you, just interesting to me, this music that was always getting you bouncing and jumping, and you start thinking, oh man, I really like this song. Man. You start getting rhythm, amen? And you say, man, I'll tell you, well, all of a sudden the music stops, you don't feel good anymore. Because all of it does is feed the flesh. I'm going to tell you something, the flesh gets tired out after a while. But the spirit never gets tired out. The soul never gets tired out. The soul is always refreshed when we know who God is and what God's doing in our life. Because he's the God of my salvation, I'll praise him with a new song. Notice in Psalm 150 in verse 1, we praise him in his sanctuary. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. I just don't understand people who don't want to get together with other Christians and sing songs of praise to God. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that. I'll tell you, I'd rather sing with 500 people than two people any day. I'd rather sing with 500 people whose hearts are pouring out before God in praise rather than sitting and listening to some stupid music on my radio in my car. I tell you, I do have fun though. I start singing songs and start directing music as I'm driving down the road. I'm singing songs, I'm making up my own words. I don't know what I'm singing, but I'm having fun, amen. People drive by me and they look at me and wonder what's wrong with me. And I'm having a good time. They look miserable, but I'm having a good time, amen. We need to realize that God wants us to come into his sanctuary and sing praises unto his name. And when God's people get together and God's people get stirred up and God's people let it get turned loose once in a while and get excited about the things of God, I'm going to tell you, you start getting some praise in the church. Amen. Well, notice in Psalm 150 and verse 6, I need to praise the Lord, everyone and everywhere. Psalm 150 and verse 6, so let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Every person, listen, every person needs to get a spirit of praise to God. And don't let the world rob you of the joy of the Lord. Don't let some stuffed shirt Christian hold you back from getting excited in Christ. Amen. I just made up my mind years ago
that I don't care if somebody gets upset or somebody looks funny at me, whatever. If I'm getting excited and I'm getting turned on by rejoicing in the Lord and I'm excited and I'm expressing it and somebody starts looking goofy at me, I'm going to look back at them. Amen. I'm just going to look at them and stare them down. Maybe stick my tongue out at them or something. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing right now. You just need to be happy in the Lord. I think sometimes we come into church and we prejudge everything. You know, I think many times we go to church and we know it's a good fundamental church. We know it's all what it ought to be. But we go in with such a critical spirit that we leave and we can't get anything out of it. Why don't we just go in with a spirit that says, wait a minute, we're coming to praise the Lord. And my heart, my desire is that I'm going to focus because everything that's in this world needs to praise God and God alone. Why? Because he is the God of my salvation. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I never got over it. I just tell you, I just haven't got over it. I stand amazed when I think of all that God has done in my life and delivering my soul and setting me free. I have something to praise the Lord about. And may I say, you have something to praise the Lord about too. You say, well, wait a minute, I don't know what it is. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know. Praise the Lord because he saved me, amen. Praise the Lord because I'm getting ready to go to second point. And you know I'll be working through the message, amen. Man, sometimes we just need to lighten up, man. We need to let it loose. We need to let it go, amen. I remember hearing a preacher preach years ago, and he was talking about an old black preacher that used to preach, and he said that he was just a powerful man. God used him so powerfully in the pulpit and preaching, and people were being saved. And some fellows asked him, said, man, God's using you in such a great way. He said, how is God moving in your life? How is God using it? How's that taking place? He said, well, man, he said, I just take and pray myself empty. And then I just study myself full. And then I just get in the pulpit and let myself go. And sometimes we need to, listen, pray ourselves empty. And then study yourself full. And then let it go. Amen. Praise the Lord once in a while. Why? Because God is my salvation. Man, there's nothing greater than God. There's nothing greater than Jesus Christ. I just can't turn to anything else. I'm just so happy in Jesus. I have my down times. I have my pity parties, and I don't invite anybody when I'm having them, amen. But when I get over them, because I don't want to mess anybody else up, I just get alone with the Lord, and God gets me happy again, and I can start praising him. So he says in our verse, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. And in this day, I'm saying, praise the Lord. Amen. Notice another thing he says here. Call upon his name, and here it is. Declare his doings among the people. So we don't just praise the Lord. We proclaim the Lord. We proclaim, we tell forth, we share the things that God has done and is continuing to do. Notice, first of all, we want to declare that he looks for that which is lost. I'm thankful that he is always looking for that which is lost. In Luke chapter 15, in verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. We need to proclaim to people that Jesus Christ is about going after and finding that which is lost. Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. This week in VBS, we have a great opportunity to tell these young people when they come in our church that, wait a minute, Jesus is looking for you. He's looking for that which is lost. May I say, when believers get out of church and they backslide, they fall by the wayside, I want you to know this, Jesus has not given up on you. God is still looking for them. And listen, if God's looking for them, we ought to be looking for them too. And we ought to be going after them and trying to encourage them and proclaim to them who Jesus Christ is and what he wants to do in their life. So proclaim the Lord. He looks for that which is lost. In the book of Joel,
chapter 2, we find that he restores that which is lost. I'm thankful that he's just not looking for that which is lost, but when he finds that which is lost, he restores it. Notice in Joel chapter 2, in verse 25, says, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I don't know about you, I had quite a few years the locusts had eaten up. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, I needed God to restore some life to me when I got saved. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty. I know that, praise the Lord. And be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. See, Jesus not only comes and he looks for that which is lost, but I'm thankful that when he comes, he finds that which is lost, and then he restores that which is lost. You know, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is in the business of restoring those that are all out in the wandering wilderness and bring them back into fellowship again. I don't know where you are. You might be backslidden tonight. You might be even contemplating leaving church and getting away from God. I want you to know that Jesus can restore your soul. He can give you happiness again. He can give life where there was death, and he can give victory where there was loss. He not only seeks that which is lost, but he restores that which is lost. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, he rewards what no longer, I can't read my own writing here, and it's typed. Amen. He rewards when no longer lost. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 11, I love Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great faith chapter. And verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If he's looking for me, and he's going to restore me, then it is a natural thing. When he finds me, he's going to reward me when I have my faith put in him. And I'm thankful for this tonight, that we can proclaim the truths of God, that he blesses us and he rewards us as we walk in faith, trusting his word and trusting what he has for life. God has been so good to me. God has blessed me in so many ways. I could stand here for hours and talk about the miraculous things that God has done in my life. I could stand here and go on and on and on about the goodness of God. Why? Because he found me when I was lost. He restored me when I needed life. And he has blessed me as I walk with him and trust him each and every day. So I want to proclaim who the Lord is. He is the God of my salvation. And so I'll praise him and I'll proclaim him. Notice in our text back in Isaiah, it says, declare his doings among the people and make mention that his name is exalted. So the position of the Lord. We rejoice that God is our salvation. And so we praise him, proclaim him, but we identify with the position that the Lord has. He is high and he is all exalted and he is lifted up. You know, over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, the disciples come back to Jesus after they were sent out to preach and prepare the cities for Jesus coming. And the position that they proclaim is that the devils are subject to his name. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Notice that the devils were not subject to the disciples because of who they were. They were subject unto the disciples because of the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know tonight that there is power in the name of Jesus. I'm thankful that over the years when I've felt demons oppressing me, when I felt like Satan was attacking me, that I could rebuke the demons of hell in the name of Jesus Christ and they would have to flee away from me. The devils have to be subject to the name of Jesus Christ because his name is high and lifted up. Certainly we know this, that life is through his name. In John chapter 20 and verse 31, it says, "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." See, oftentimes people say, "Well, wait a minute, you can have eternal life through some other person, some other religious leader." No, there's only life through the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice that God is our salvation because we know that the devils are subject to his name, and we know that we have life through faith in the name of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I'm thankful that life that we have is life that is more abundantly because of all that Jesus has promised us. So life is through his name. Notice that healing comes through his name. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 16, and Peter was able to heal the lame man at the temple gate. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 16, as they were questioning about this healing that took place in this man, Peter says, "In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see now, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And Peter is very clear that this man who was lame was now walking because he was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I sometimes am just moved with the thought that people use the name of Jesus so lightly, so disrespectfully. And here is the name of Jesus that literally the demons of hell are subject to. The eternal life is experienced through, and healing and health is restored by the name of Jesus Christ. All that we might proclaim and praise the Lord for his position in reference to his name. Well, there's remissions of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 43, as Peter comes back and shares with the Jews that he had been at Cornelius' house, and in Acts 10 and verse 43, it says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins." And so I'm thankful tonight that we have something to rejoice in because our sins have been remitted. They have been removed. We have been delivered through the name of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And so he is the God of our salvation. We certainly do have something to rejoice in and celebrate because of our position that we have in the Lord. Notice his name is above all names. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I'm just saying this in just a declaration and position that the name of Jesus Christ is above all names. Man slanders his name, curses his name, rejects his name, but I'm going to tell you, one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ's name is above all names. They're going to confess that he is the Lord of all. And so Isaiah tells us that God is our salvation. And because God is our salvation, then we should praise the Lord. And we should proclaim the Lord. And we should position the Lord in reference to his official position of being high and lifted up and exalted because he is our salvation. Now, folks, as a Christian, I just want to encourage you tonight. Whatever trials, whatever difficulties you're going to have to deal with this week, just remember, God is my salvation. Whenever we do something, whenever you do something, or whatever we as a church do something to try to glorify the Lord or try to get people saved, the devil always fights. Listen, whatever can go wrong this week is going to go wrong. So just count on it. Get ready for it. And remember that God is your salvation. So just get into praise mode. Amen. Praise the Lord and rejoice in the goodness of our God. You know, kids are going to be in here all week. Nah, listen, they're going to mess things up. They are. Just get ready for it. It's going to be a mess around here. Don't look at the mess. Amen. Look at the God of our salvation. He's given us the opportunity to tell these children about Jesus Christ. Don't worry. Whatever gets broke, it'll get fixed. Whatever gets dirty, Dave will clean. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter. If the grass gets trampled down, hallelujah, the men don't have to cut it. Amen. Save us money and gas. I'll tell you, it's all perspective. Isaiah has given us a perspective. God is the God of our salvation. So let's praise the Lord no matter what's going on. And let's tell everyone who he is. And let's just keep his name high and lifted up. And we keep him high and lifted up. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You'll keep your eyes up. You won't see what's on the floor. It's dirty. Amen. You keep your eyes up. You won't see that kid over here grabbing an extra cookie that he's not supposed to have. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Let's lift him up this week. Why? Because he is the God of our salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you. How we love you tonight, Lord. It's amazing. It really, truly is amazing life to be a Christian. God, help us to praise you more. God, help us to share who you are with others more. God, may we never forget that your name is above every name. Lord, we love you, we adore you, we appreciate you, Lord. We believe in you, we trust you, we're depending upon you. And God, we desire for you to use us in a great way. Bless us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's